Well, again, good morning. And it's good to be back home. I tell you, it's tough being away. But it's good to come back and see you all. We're going to be continuing in our study of 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me there. Otherwise, you'll also have it up on the screen. But again, I do encourage you, bring your Bibles. You can underline, you can jot notes, you can circle the point that I missed and point it out to me later. If you don't have your Bible, you can't do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with the third verse. It reads, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good." Genuine, yet regarded as impostors. Known, yet regarded as unknown. Dying, and yet we live on. Beaten, and yet not killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. This morning we give you praise. Lord, we do thank you for all your blessings, for the communion table, for the word, for your Holy Spirit which indwells us and guides and directs if we will only listen. Heavenly Father, we pray right now this morning that your Holy Spirit would be present, that we would listen, that you would speak through your word, Lord, through me and to each of us here. Or that your word, your truth, would be the one lifted up and glorified, and that of man and the world would just be set aside. Heavenly Father, we seek your presence. We seek to know you more. We seek to be better children of yours. Lead us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple weeks ago, when I was last preaching here in Corinthians, we saw that the ministry of reconciliation, that of being Christ's ambassadors, God ambassadors of the gospel to the world. That was our job. And Paul moved, and that our job is supposed to be going on every day. That today is the day. It's not tomorrow. We're supposed to be about the work of the Lord today. Well, now Paul goes in and he begins talking about doing that job. He says that he's put no stumbling block out there. You know, sometimes the way we present the gospel is a stumbling block to people. I don't know about you, but occasionally I can be annoying. I'm seeing several smiles, so I'm seeing that a few of you agree with that statement. Okay. But it's true. Sometimes I have a really bad habit. It's been pointed out to me on occasion. I work really hard against it. Sometimes I tell people versus asking people. That can be a stumbling block. So I work against it so that people aren't, instead of me saying, "Butch, you're going to do special music." No. It's like, "Hey, Butch, you got a special music?" There's a difference between the two. The one feels he's been told. The boys, my boys, refer to this in the Army as being voluntold. And yes, we're in the army of God, but, you know, I probably shouldn't be voluntolding people. I need to ask. And when I present the gospel, I need to do it in such a way that I'm not trying to, you know, shove it down somebody's throat or beat them up with the word, because that's putting a stumbling block in front of people. Feeling caged. The stumbling blocks were there. The purpose of a stumbling block is you put it in your doorway at night as your burglar alarm. They put the only people who lived in the house knew where the block was, you know. Anybody else walk in the dark, you can't see anything. Oop, you stub your toe. Remember talking in the time when people didn't wear steel-toed shoes. They were wearing sandals, or as Chris is running around today, barefoot. This is the way people look. And if you ever stub your toe with sandals on, you know that there's not a lot of protection there. And it hurts. And what do you do when you stub your toe? Oh! Burglar alarm. Cheap, effective. And even if they don't say anything, well, then they stub their toe. They might fall down. They might bump into something. They make noise. At the very least, they've been put off their initial plan, their initial game. It's a barrier to keep people from getting in. Hello, as ambassadors of the gospel, are we supposed to be putting out stumbling blocks? No, we're not supposed to be putting things out that keep people from getting in. We're supposed to be removing these things. Get them out of the way so that people can come in to the family of God, so that people can come in to God's mercy and glory, so that people can be part of the family of God, be part of the kingdom of God, whom which we are ambassadors for, right? Don't put the stumbling blocks out there. Paul says, I don't put the stumbling blocks out there. He says that he's a servant, an ambassador of God. What he does is he commends, or he presents himself to the world, to the church and to the world. He presents them. He commends himself. And how does he do that? What's his bearing? How does he hold himself? What are his actions that he's doing? And he gives this list. Now, this particular passage I read today has two main lists. And this first list talks about the various ways in which he presents himself. He said, I'm not doing stumbling blocks. I present myself this way. He's saying he's with great endurance. Okay, notice that he starts out with an adjective start. Great endurance. I just don't have endurance. I've got great endurance. First off, we need to take that as a caution to us, those who think that because we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, everything's going to go easy. There's going to be no problems. There's no need for great endurance if everything goes smooth, if there's no need to keep plugging away. You know, if it was just a short sprint, it's not. It's a marathon, a triathlon. The septathlon, I don't know, it just keeps going and getting bigger and longer. We need endurance. He goes through troubles, hardships, distresses. Not just distress, but distresses, plural. Well, he's already listed troubles and hardships, but now he's got to go plural on the distress. This is how he's presenting himself. He's presenting himself in endurance. He's presenting himself in troubles. He's presenting himself in hardships, in distresses. See, he's always, even when he's in the midst of these things, he's still on duty. He's still an ambassador. We don't get to take off the ambassadorial robe and say, oh, I'm not ambassador now. Now I'm just Joe Schmo. You know, could you imagine anybody taking that literally with our Secretary of State? You know, I used Hillary Clinton and Condoleezza Rice as examples in the past of, as Secretary of State, they are the primary ambassador for our country. Okay, first Condoleezza, now we have Hillary Clinton. She is our number one ambassador. She's always on duty. No matter where she is, what she's doing right now, that's the job that she has. And if she just said, you know, I'm not on duty as Secretary of State right now, and now I'm just going to give my personal opinion, is that work? No. See, no, you can't do that. Neither can we as Christians. We can't decide, hey, you know what? As I'm going through these troubles, these difficulties and hardships, I'm going to take off that ambassadorial robe. I'm not representing Christ right now. Excuse me while I just go be a sinner and just make a mess. Hello. Nope, can't do that. We are always representing Christ. Particularly when we're in these difficulties. How are we dealing with them? Hopefully well. I mean, we have imprisonments, beatings, riots, hard work. Not just work, but hard work. Not just nights of work, but we got sleepless nights going on. We've got hunger. All these negative things, but then we also have purity, understanding, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, sincere love, truthful speech, the power of God. See, in the midst of my troubles and trials, I'm supposed to still have truthful speech. You know, lying because it's convenient or it helps? No, can't do that. You know, I was just at police chaplain training this last week, and the guy who runs it, Jeff Stewart, friend of mine, was talking about an incident that he had with his daughter. You know, he's a large man, and his daughter, as they were growing up, was quite tall. You know, she was like this tall at age 9 1/2. Well, you know, in order to ride the horses at Yellowstone or something they were at, you had to be like this tall. Well, she's like this tall, and you had to be 10 years old. She was 9 1/2. Dad wouldn't lie. Daughter was very mad. But what would she have learned? Had he lied? Well, it's okay to lie when it's convenient. And Paul's saying, no, I can't do that. See, I still got my ambassador robes on. I'm always representing Christ. I have to be truthful. But, you know, it'd be so much easier if I just told this person over here what they wanted to hear. Or what would make my life easier. You know, I hate that. It sometimes would be so much easier for me just to tell a little white lie. I mean, it'll smooth the waters, right? It'll make things easier. No, it won't. Eventually it comes back. That's the stumbling block that Paul's not putting out there. That's what we're enjoined not to do. We're to be truthful. We're to have purity, patience, kindness. This is who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have the Holy Spirit in us. Sincere love. Sincere? That means like it's real. Ever have somebody say, oh, I love you, and you go, yeah, no, you don't. You hate my guts. Don't fake it. But remember, love is indeed a decision. Love is. Where's my slide? Right, can I get you to run to the other side? Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent, concerned for the well-being of another person. That's love. If I have sincere love for somebody, okay, you know, I'm going to be selfless. I'm going to do what's best for you. I'm, you know, even if it costs me something, I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to stick with you. You know, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're being called to. You know, I may not have a close affinity with that person, but I can be sincere in my love towards them. I don't have to be fake in it. I don't have to try to work up some, you know, oh, hey, I want to hang out with you forever. Don't ever call me back again, please. No. But be sincere. Be right. That's what Paul's talking about here. He speaks of having the weapons of righteousness in his right and his left hand. It's the Word of God. It's the armor of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. And Paul's saying, this is how I need to go. This is how we need to go. See, he's talking to the Corinthians. He's talking to us. Fellow Christians. Now, telling us that is we need to move through the difficulties that we have. We have these paradoxes. Even though we, you know, did anybody notice the sermon title? Pair of Ducks? Paradox. Okay. It was a play on words, and nobody even asked me about it before church. I'm a little disappointed that nobody picked up on that. But maybe a couple of you were waiting for, to get me after church. Say, what is this pair of ducks thing? Well, there's Paul in his ministry has this paradox. He's doing all these things, and he's doing them with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit in both hands, if you would. Basically meaning that he's well armed in it. Not that he has a Bible in each hand with which to beat people with, but that he's got the Word of God. He's using the Word of God as his tool, not the Word of man. And that is carrying him through the difficulties. You know, through glory and dishonor. Okay? So he's, while he's doing this, he's having both glory and dishonor. There's bad reports against him, and there's good reports. He's genuine, and now someone else is calling him an impostor. He's known, yet others are regarding him as unknown. He's dying. Literally dying to Christ. Yet he's living on. He's beaten, but not killed. Sorrowful. Yet he's always rejoicing. He's poor, yet making many rich. And he has nothing. Literally, he has nothing, yet he is in possession of everything. We have this paradox back and forth. You know, if I have nothing, how can I have everything? If I'm sorrowful, how can I be rejoicing? Keep playing this paradox. I'm known, but I'm unknown. You know, they know me, but they pretend like they don't know me. Why? Well, because, you know, I'm that weird preacher dude. You know, bad report, good report. Well, you know, I'm out preaching the word, and one person over saying, oh, man, that. You realize that he's in a public place preaching the word of God? Oh, this is bad. Somebody else saying, did you hear the word of the Lord to this guy? People were listening. The word of God was preached. One's a bad report, one's a good report, both about the same thing. We had this paradox of what goes on in the ministry. What goes on in our lives as we follow Christ's word, as we live as Christians, as we are as ambassadors for Christ, this is us. This is what we're supposed to be experiencing. Supposed to be experiencing? Yes. The hardships, the endurance, the troubles, the despairs, plural. I don't want to have despairs. He said, but though I am sorrowful, I'm always joyful. Huh? See, joy is not happiness. Remember, to be happy, you just like the way the situation is. I like this. I like that you are here with me today. But I don't like that it's a little cool today. So I'm unhappy about that. But I'm joyful. Why am I joyful? Because I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm in the presence of my fellow believers. I'm joyful because I'm satisfied where God has put me. See, that's joy. It's satisfaction where God has placed me. And I can have that in the midst of the worst trial, worst trouble. I'm just, God, I'm yours, and I just praise you. You will carry me through. That is joy. So I can have it in the midst of sorrow. I can be poor. I got nothing. But I got everything. I got the kingdom of God. You know, I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the kingdom of creation's household. I'm not worried about it. God's got it under control. All the riches of heaven, that's my inheritance. But what about between now and then? Well, He'll give me what I need. Maybe not what I want, but I'll get what I need. I have all I need. I'm rich. I could say, oh man, I need all this, I need this. And I could be all focused on how poor I am. Paul's just saying, you know, even though I'm poor, I'm just focused on how rich I am. The paradox of being a Christian. The paradox of Christian ministry. So we have these things. But it's important that they don't have us. So Paul's spoken freely. We need to speak freely. He's opened his heart with affection. We need to open our hearts with affection. So he's talking about a fair exchange. Because Paul's coming to the Corinthians saying, you know, you're not giving your love. I'm coming to you in Christian love, and you're like, hold him back just a little bit. Maybe hold him back a lot. And the injunction from Paul here is that as Christians, we need to open our hearts in a free exchange, in a fair exchange. Love for love. Now again, this is the paradox. If I give you my love, has the amount of love I have been lessened in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely not. It can only become a larger number. This isn't like the normal math problem. If I have this much love and I give some away, I'm going to run out. No, you will not. You will not run out of love. Not if you're giving it away. You only run out of love when you try to hold it in. And don't give it when we close off our hearts. And this is the problem that the Corinthian church is facing. They're trying to hold it in and they're saying, well, we're not feeling very loving right now. Why? Because you're trying to hold on to the love. Let it go. Give it away. Love me, Paul is telling them. Even though I'm challenging you, I am your spiritual parent, is what he is telling them. And I expect you, my children, to love me as I've loved you. You see, he's showing us the example of Christ and us. We're to love Christ as Christ loved us. How much did Christ love us? Well, enough to go to the cross. This is the example. Paul loved the Corinthian church enough to be beaten, to have bad reports about, to suffer many things, and to have sleepless nights on their behalf. And he counted those things all joy. Paul isn't so much concerned about the fact that he's going to be shortchanged if they don't return the love to him. It's the fact that they're the ones that are shortchanged. See, normally, we figure, you know, if I give you something, or let me put it this way, if you give me something and I don't give you anything, then I end up with more. No. The way it works out is if I give you love and you don't give me love, you end up with less love. What? It's a paradox. Or a paradox. Dependent upon how you care to pronounce it. But we always have this tension back and forth. And what doesn't make sense in our human wisdom and in the logic of our fallen nature makes perfect sense to God. And since He happens to be the creator of, everything, that's actually the way things work. You say, but it shouldn't work that way. It does, though, people. So this is what we need to do. As Christ has loved us, as we celebrate at the communion table today, we need to love Him. Not for His benefit, but in actuality for ourselves. The most selfish thing you can do, the thing that will help yourself the most, is to love the Lord more. Isn't that a terrible thing I'm asking you to do? Isn't this a terrible thing Paul is bringing us here to in his word today? What the Holy Spirit has written through Paul to us. I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Open wide your hearts. Who did Jesus die for? He died for me. He died for you. Is there anyone Jesus did not die for? There isn't anybody. But yet only those who open wide their hearts to Him receive that blessing of mercy and grace. People, let's help ourselves. Open our hearts and we'll have more love. It's a paradox. The more we give away, the more we have. Yeah, we're going to have these difficulties, but even as we go through those difficulties, the more blessings that will be there. That's what Paul is talking about as he goes through and goes through that list of all these things. Problem after problem, but then it's followed with the blessings. And even though I'm considered this, I am this. You know, we're going to still have problems, but we're never going to be alone. And He's going to carry us through. People, open your hearts, and the Lord will be there. He tells us, love one another. They will know you are my servants by your love one for another. Have you done for the least of these, so you has done unto me. People, don't hold it in. Don't be a Scrooge with it. Let it go. Open your hearts. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would show us how we can better open our hearts. Lord, show us in those areas in our lives where we have closed them, where we've held back our love. Father God, once you show us those areas where we're closed off our heart, where we're holding back our love, might we open them up, open up our hearts, might we give our love to those around us. Might we, no matter the cost, or might we remember that we are always ambassadors, and when we have these closed hearts, we are indeed a stumbling block. And as we go through trials, Lord, you are with us, and that when we have open hearts, you are better able to help us because we are better able to receive your blessing. Father, show us how. And help us to love one another more. To open our hearts to you and to each other. In Jesus' name.